Hello and welcome to episode 25 of the Heritage Connection, brought to you here by the folks at the Tower Heritage Center, home of the Washington County Historical Society in Washington County, Wisconsin. Our mission is to forge meaningful connections across generations to Washington County's hardworking legacy, and this podcast is just one more way we're trying to make those connections. I'm your host, Bella Bussey, and I'm joined by my co-host, Justin Agar-Pratt. Justin, how's your day going?
It's going pretty good. I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Today we're continuing our feature series around the county where we spotlight various historical organizations around Washington County, Wisconsin. Last week we had the pleasure of speaking with Michelle Price, the Executive Director of the Hartford Historical Preservation Foundation. This week we'll be talking to Pete Sampson and Joni Crivello of the Richfield Historical Society in Richfield, Wisconsin. Hi, Pete and Joni.
Hello.
Hello.
Would you like to start us off by sharing the origin story of the Richfield Historical Society and how it came to be?
Sure. About 30 years ago, there was a group of people who knew that this building and on the society was vacant for over 25 years and was on the verge of becoming a demolition project. And they really pushed the county to, in 1997, to purchase the property.
What's the mission of the Richfield Historical Society, and how does that really guide the work that you folks do?
Our mission statement is to discover, collect, preserve, and promote the history of the village of Richfield. We provide opportunities to connect to Richfield's past. This mission guides our programs, our buildings, and our events to enhance the understanding of Richfield's local past and its connection to the present. We offer guided tours, hands-on activities, and programs to reach different audiences.
Speaking of the work the Society does, could you highlight some key milestones and significant events in the Village of Richfield's history that the Society has discovered and preserved?
Well, a good example is the mill. The mill was built in 1860s and really needed a complete makeover. And we've put a whole new foundations in the mill. And this year is the 150th year of celebration. We actually got the mill running a little bit. And our goal is this year, in 2024, is to have it running even more.
Pete and Joni, what are your respective roles with the Historical Society? And if you could just share a bit about maybe your personal journeys with the Historical Society, maybe how you became involved, What motivates you to contribute to the mission? Who wants to go first?
Well, I will go first. I am currently the vice president. As VP, I am in effect shadowing Pete for my upcoming 2025 presidency. It is on-the-job training. The vice president fills in for the president when they're not available, and we work as a team in other situations. And my husband and I moved here to Richfield in 2013. And we happened to be walking distance to the historical park. So after I retired, I walked on a daily basis. I took note that on each Thursday when I walked through the park, there were a group of volunteers working. And so they were the friendliest bunch of guys, and many times when they're on break, hey, come over, have a donut. So I came over, had a donut, and they got me. I became a society member. When you become a society member, you are put on a volunteer list, and then you are contacted to see if you would like to volunteer, or you're emailed opportunities to help out at events. I started to volunteer, and I really enjoyed the friendly atmosphere of the events and the society, and the rest is history. Someone asked me to be on the board of directors, and I said yes. And I started out as recording secretary.
Well, I'm currently president, and it's somewhat interesting story. Similar to Joni, I used to walk my dog in the park. And I walked my dog in the park 5-6 days a week because I live about a half a mile away. And I was always asked if I'd like to help volunteer. They're always looking for people to work in a park. And lo and behold, I said yes one time, and I first got involved with maple syrup, making maple syrup, which was a new experience, and now I'm the maple syrup coordinator. And then we had a maple syrup family day, and I chair the event, and I really enjoy all the activities that we do in the park.
You both spoke about the historical park, which is next to a Richfield Nature Park as mm-hmm. well. They're two separate parks. But besides the Millhouse, what other like historical buildings or monuments are in that park? I'm curious.
Well, along with the mill, there's actually a mill house. And this year, in 2023, we've completely restored the outside of the mill house so that it'll stand now for at least another 100 years. Very costly endeavor, but really, the house looks nice. And the inside has been all remodeled, so it's really remodeled back to the way it originally was. So when you're in the house, you actually feel like you're back in the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm. And we also have, we have a homestead. It's called the Pioneer Homestead. It's in the upper part of the house near the blacksmith shop, which is fairly new to the park. And then the homestead, though, offers a lot of opportunities for hands-on. They do cooking in there. They have demonstrations. They're working on a loom. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. So when you're walking through the park, it's not just one building. It's a lot of buildings that you can tour.
Sure.
When she talked about the blacksmith shop, we actually took down a barn in the village of Richfield called a coal barn and repurposed all the wood on the rafters on that building. And then when you look at the building, the cedar shingles are actually made over out of a old cedar telephone poles. So,
really?
So yeah.
Wow.
So the building is actually, everything is in that building is very old.
Wow.
And that opened in 2017.
Would either of you like to discuss any upcoming events or projects that the Richfield Historical Society is involved in or is planning?
Our first event of the year is one of our bigger events, is Maple Syrup Family Day, held on the fourth Saturday in March. At that event, we have a pancake breakfast. This year, new is a maple syrup contest where we ask for people who make maple syrup in the area who would like to enter their syrup into a contest. Oh. And one of our judges is going to be Allison Dairyland.
I'll start in here and I'll say when Art of the Mill on June 15th is coming up. And Art of this Mill is in its 16th year at the park. It's a juried affair with approximately 80 exhibitors. And each exhibitor offers original and handcrafted items created by the artists themselves. Relaxing live music plays while you're meandering through the park, and all the historical buildings in the lower historical park will be open for touring.
Well, we also try to keep the history going by offering education days where we have 100 to 200 third and fourth graders come to the park and spend a day in the park learning about history. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting was this year, one of the young students came and says, "My big brother came here years ago." Oh. So people remember that.
Yeah.
And hopefully they come back and they learn about the history of the park and they want to come back and learn more, even more, as they get to be young adults. Yeah.
Then we have the Threshery and the Harvest Festival. This year it'll be September 21st and 22nd. It's a fun weekend at the Richfield Historical Park. You're hearing, seeing, smelling, touching, tasting, and feeling the life as it was years ago. Mm-hmm. Activities. There's so many activities, but I'll just touch upon a few. You can enjoy an old tractor parade. You can enjoy it. You could ride in a wagon powered by a tractor. Everything's tractor.
Yeah.
Watch grain being ground at the grist mill. View threshing and log sawing powered by steam engines. And we also have last year they had this great big steam engine from Minnesota. And it was so loud. I mean, you could hear it for miles. It was pretty cool. And then at our homestead, we have petting a goat, making homemade things you can watch, taste maple cotton candy. That's Pete's specialty. And other picnic food. That's just a few of the activities that we offer.
When she talks about maple cotton candy, about 8 years ago, somebody says we need a signature event, food at our events.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, well, let's run a cotton candy machine and see how it works. And it went over so well that I now somehow inherited that. So every event you come to, you'll see me or my daughter, I've recruited my daughter to become the best. She's better at it than I am. Mm-hmm. But it's really, it's not so sweet. It's a little, but really tasty treat mm-hmm. when you come to our events.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I know you guys mentioned a lot of events, and there are even more buildings in your park than what we've discussed. And for listeners, we'll be sure to throw a link to the website for the Richfield Historical Society in the show notes so you can check out the event dates and everything that they have to offer. Mm-hmm. Unless you've been taking Fast and Furious notes while you're listening. How has the community responded to the Society's efforts in preserving and promoting the history of Richfield?
Well, it's amazing to me that first-time visitors to the historical park are amazed that the park even exists in our community. People that live in Hartford, Richfield, Germantown, even come to, I didn't know this was here. Our events are well attended by attendees of various ages. When the Society has a need for volunteers, or perhaps a specific request. Sometimes we need some tools or we need something to help us out. The community has come through. So the vast majority do appreciate and support our cause, and we are extremely thankful for their support, especially our contributors, the Village of Richfield, Society members, and the community as a whole.
You do seem like you have a reputation among the other, at least our organization, I'm sure the other organizations in the county recognize this, that you have a very strong and dedicated volunteer base. So even those who, you know, from other organizations notice that, which is which is really great and a testament to the work that you guys are doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, we do have a Thursday crew that is a volunteer crew, mm-hmm. and we end up with 15, 20, sometimes 25 people on a Thursday morning, and sometimes if the weather's really cold, well, we have coffee and donuts. Mm-hmm. When if it's not so much, we have a lot of work. Anybody who knows that you have buildings that are 100 years old, mm-hmm. there's always something to do in the buildings.
Yeah. Sure. Speaking of old buildings, do you have a lot of the old equipment, like original equipment that was in like the mill house, all the grinders and the...
That's an interesting story. When you talk about the mill, the mill was shut down for over 20 years, and the equipment that was lost was on the third floor, and the second floor and on the first floor is all original equipment that was in the building, and it still got the original signs where mm-hmm. it was made. A.L. Smith in Milwaukee imported it from Germany. So when you walk into the mill, you see the millstones and all the grinders. That's all original to the through the mill. And the house, was empty for 20 years, but once the Historical Society took over the house, family members who used to live in the house returned original chairs, sofas. Mm. We have the original workbench where the ledger is actually one of the original ledgers from back in the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Wow.
It's still in the building and in the house. And what was interesting was that house, they lived in the house until the mid-70s, and there's no running water in the house.
Oh
so
gosh.
They never, so think about that in this day and age. Even in the 1970s, mm-hmm. they had a little outhouse, and then that outhouse still exists today.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's very cool. Switching gears a little bit, are there any unique artifacts or stories in the Historical Society, the Historical Society's collection that stand out to you?
Well, you know, I kind of wavered on this. I didn't know what story to tell. There's so many. But did you know that Richfield has a connection to a local broadcasting history?
I don't think I did.
I didn't know that either.
In 1941, Journal Communications built a 200-foot tower on Richfield Hill. It's a 450-foot elevation located just south of what is currently Richfield School by 167 mm-hmm. and, I don't know what that, oh, and 175 on the corner there. If you go up, there's a great big hill. The tower complex included a two-floor brick building that housed living quarters for engineers, operators, and was located 130 feet from the base of the tower. By 1948, W55M had become WTMJ, FM,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and was the most powerful FM station in the United States, thanks to the $500,000 watt transmitter in Richfield. It reached listeners as far west as Columbia and Dean counties and extended into parts of northern Illinois.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah, that is fascinating. Mm-hmm. So we talked about, you know, your dedicated volunteer base. For listeners who may be interested in getting involved, what sort of opportunities? I know you've mentioned your Thursday work group, and I assume you are, you know, willing to take volunteers for the various events you have throughout the year. But what opportunities exist for folks to support or participate in the Richfield Historical Society?
Well, as I mentioned, our Thursday crew, for anybody who's interested in it, you show up on a Thursday morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, everybody is welcome. And you really do what you find interesting to do. If you like cutting wood, we always have wood to cut. If you like doing some painting and carpentry, we always have those different projects to do and really look for people to do those things. And starting at the end of February for 6 to 7 weeks in a row, almost every day of the week, we are in a park making maple syrup. Mm-hmm. If you want to learn how to make maple syrup, you just come in a park, you see somebody at the Sugar Shack, come on up, everybody is welcome. When we're there, the cooking time is where it takes 20 hours to make a batch, and we're always looking for some people to come in and stop in and talk. So
yeah,
that's another real nice opportunity. And then you can learn about the park and maybe see where you would fit in with other opportunities.
I did mention that we also have an email listing of volunteer opportunities, mm-hmm. and they're varied from what you can do. You can come and you could volunteer in a booth, you could sell tickets, you can take admissions, or as simple as volunteer a dessert to sell, or donate a case of soda, or donate a case of water. It very much is open to everybody's ability.
And we use Facebook for a lot of these opportunities. If we're looking for something, and just like the cotton candy machine, we had a person come forward and donated us a machine because we were running a machine that was just looked like it was falling apart. And one of not a member even of the society. Mm-hmm. They said, what are you guys looking for as far as donations? And I said, well, we're looking for a cotton candy machine. And mm-hmm. we really appreciate that. And that's turned into a nice little moneymaker to support the park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be sure to put a link to your Facebook page in the show notes as well. Mm-hmm.
So kind of piggybacking on the conversation about the society and community, in your experience, what role does local history play in fostering a sense of community identity? In other words, how do you think local history connects people to their heritage and to those around them?
Well, sometimes things as commonplace as names of street could reflect the long heritage of past generations where you live. Few of us know the origins or histories behind our own community, especially if you come from out of town. But learning the stories of a region's past can change the way you think about the present. Additionally, Richfield is a rural community. The historical park offers events that brings together the surrounding community, which helps in building a sense of local identity and unity.
On another way we foster and try to get history out is we have a Thursday program, once a monthly program, where we actually bring in people to talk about the history, not only of Richfield, but the history of Wisconsin, the history of Indians, and all different events. And we have one member who is going to be doing our Thursday program, talk about being in the Civil War, because he got books written from his grandfather that he actually reenacts that out. Our program.
Can you discuss the challenges and the rewards of preserving and promoting local history, especially in this rapidly changing world?
Well, taking a step back in time of where showing people how life really is without having cell phones, and I think that's one of the ones I discussed our education days. When we bring these young kids, boys and girls out, and you can't have cell phones, and you see how the way they really wash laundry, and we actually have some goats, and they have the milk goats, and really seeing how life is without all the conveniences of today.
Anything else you want to share before we wrap up?
Not really, but just expanding on that last one, one of the challenges I think would be is how to keep changing your events to include younger people. Mm-hmm. You know, the old people seem to really enjoy it because they can relate to that, you know, the iron that had no heat, no electricity, or they see it. But we want to connect with the youth.
On that note, we didn't really talk about our luminary hike that we do.
Oh, yes.
In the first weekend in November. That is an event, sometimes even my board says, why would you want to do a luminary hike? And I really was convinced that that is a way to bring young families to the park, give them a lot of information about what we do in a park, mm-hmm. and hopefully they come back at different events. Mm-hmm. And it's really what this year's event, we had cars parked everywhere, and we're really very, very successful. And it's an event that's made for families. If you don't want, it's a free event. We give away free popcorn, we give away free cotton candy, and really is a family event that hopefully draws people back and looks at the buildings and the park and says, wow, I want to come back and learn more about the park.
Yeah, it was very successful, and it was fantastic. And we had two great big bonfires, and people didn't want to leave. I mean, we had to shut off the lights. You
know, we're tired and want to go home, yeah. And people, but really, that's what it's all about.
But it felt so good.
Yeah.
And that's what's so cool and unique about your park, too, like being in a park, that you can offer those events mm-hmm. where you can get together outside and have those big gatherings. So that's really cool that you guys take advantage of that. Well, Pete and Joni, it's been a pleasure to meet you both and to have you on our show. Thanks so much for sharing about yourselves and the Richfield Historical Society. If any listeners out there are also part of a historical organization in Washington County, Wisconsin, and you'd like to be featured on our podcast, give us a shout. We'd love to hear from you and to have you on. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to this week's episode of The Heritage Connection, brought to you by the Tower Heritage Center, home of the Washington County Historical Society, whose mission is to forge meaningful connections across generations to Washington County's hardworking legacy. See you next time.